drive, and we're hoping that you will support us and make a donation. You can either do it monthly or make a one-time donation. Really, everything and anything helps. You can find all the information at www.citr.ca/donate. There's lots of details about CITR and also a lot of great swag that we're giving away. I'm super grateful to be part of the CITR team, and you are part of it too. The listener is essential and the fuel to keep this going. Thank you for listening to CITR, and thank you so much for your support. Help to keep the alternative airways alive.
Salutations. See you next time from the Medicine Show on CITR 101.9 FM.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Feel the burn, you crying now, yeah, tables turn. My feelings are pure like the drugs in your purse. He got you now, but yeah, I had it first. He love you better, cause I would've worse. Feelings are dead, but loving hurts. Work, girl, let me see you work. You ain't trying to feel, cause feelings hurt. Jam my name through the dirt with all your friends. Matter of fact, fuck your friends. I already fuck your friends. How you even call them friends? Them bitches play pretend, pray you take this in. When they play this shit, probably gonna hate this shit. I hate this shit.
Don't wanna go down. Slow down. Sky. I close my eyes in the thought of you never dies. Why do I try with a heart that was never mine? With a heart that was never mine. Angels will cry and the moon will fall out the sky. I close my eyes in the thought of you never dies. Why do I try with a heart that was never mine? With a heart that was never mine.
Yo, you are now tuned in with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, the hottest radio station here in the great land of Canada. This week is the fun drive. What that means here at CITR is we're always fundraising, but this is like the week where you can give. I know that this is the week of giving love. As if you are listening and maybe you didn't know Valentine's Day is next Monday. So, you know, this is a week of giving love. Maybe you have so much love in your heart that you want to give to CITR. You can call in the number 604-822-2487. I can tell you how to give. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can go to CITR.ca/offthebeatenpath or CITR/CA donate. And you can give some money to the station. What the station does with the money is it pays some of the employees here. You know, the program manager, the station manager, it pays the, you know, the tech. And it really just keeps the organization running so that we can provide great content to you, the listeners, but also it gives people an opportunity to come here and share their voice amongst the airwaves. And, you know, we're all about the democratization of the airwaves over here. And there's people here who need to hear their voice. And they also run camps where you can have a DJ. You can learn how to DJ. You can learn how to produce your own audio documentary. You can learn how to produce a radio show. You can learn how to produce podcasts. You know, and it's really an open and nice environment. So if you've never come down to CITR, come check out Where Your Money Goes here at the Nest at UBC. And check it out. But we, as we move on to the show, we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh territories here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland. It's Tuesday, February 8th, 2022. You know what? And I'm glad that we are sharing this together. Like, I missed, for some reason, I missed 2-2-2-2-2-2-2. And I'm not going to miss the 22nd. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, I think we might be together on that day. And maybe at 22-22, we'll have to say a wish, because actually we'll be on the air, you know what I mean? And I feel like that would be something that we can all share, you know, when I say, you know, we can share that. That'd be a good moment, you know? If you're looking towards this, so you know, we start, you know what we do here for Off the Beaten Path. What we like to do is we talk about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in BC, what's going on in British Columbia, and what's going on in the world. You know, some, you know, there's some funny stuff going on. You know, you're here to talk with me, your host, Issa Arian, about all of this stuff, and also listen to some good music, listen to some new music. If you just listen to Crimes and Treasons, which comes on 8 to 10 every Tuesday with Relly Rels, Jamal Steeles, myself, Malik, Jazlyn when she's in town, Horsepower when she's in town, Jules when he's in town. And we just like to keep it rocking with the hottest hip-hop and R&B here in Canada that you have access to through the vibrations. We had Witch Nancy on here talking about grants and talking about music, and then she shared a great playlist. So what we're going to do is we're going to play some of the songs from her playlist along with some Ade Wolf. They collaborate on a playlist, and listen, and I trust both of their music sense. So we just are going to keep it going. So we share some new music. Occasionally, at the end of the month, we're going to have a few interviews in here. I have started to schedule interviews because I feel like that's what we need. You know, sometimes it's nice to hear my voice for an hour, but it's also nice because I have, fortunately, I know so many smart people. I know so many talented people. I know so many people doing some cool things, and one of the things I want to do is I want to get more people in here, you know, talking about some of the cool things that they do, because honestly, I love listening to, you know, what's going on. And when we get back from this first commercial break, we're going to let Randy talk on air. He's got something to say, And then we're going to get into some music and then talk a little bit about why I think this landlord, you know, I don't like landlords, but why I think this particular landlord is overstepping her reach when we get back.
Ahoy, ahoy. It's Captain Gak from the great ship Exploding Head Movies, which sails every Monday evening here on CITR. And yes, it's Fun Drive time again. It's the one time each year where we ask for your support to help keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. Though we span the globe with our interests, one of our core strengths is focusing on voices that you don't hear elsewhere, and that's where the local side comes in. Whether it's hearing music and interviews with bands on air, articles and illustrations by local artists in Discorder magazine, or then finding out about new events through our website. This isn't something you're going to find on any other radio station. And that website is where you can visit to help contribute to Fun Drive today if you are in a position to help out. That's www.citr.ca/donate. Thanks for helping us out, and we'll see you on the airwaves. Tally ho. Let's go.
back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, East Arian. Thanks for tuning in. I felt like I was a little hyped, you know, at the beginning of the show. And one of the thing, one thing that I want to do is really like slow it down. It is 10 p.m. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that some people are going to be listening to this in the morning while they take the kids to school. You know, maybe you might listen to it while you're washing your dishes later, or maybe you're listening to this right now, you know, while you're trying to figure out why you're at your job and you hate it, you know? I can totally understand that. We've been in the pandemic a long time. I feel like there's just getting like this fatigue of people working inside of their houses. Like I used to say I work from home, but now I say I live at work because I don't know about you. I don't know where you work at, but I live at my job. Like there's no plan for me to go back to the office because there's no office. So where am I going to work? I don't know. From my apartment. You know what I mean? Like one thing, before we get into the weather, one thing is that I'm sure there's lots of people, it's millions of you listening, you know, who work from home. No, just kidding. But not everybody who listens to the show, but a lot of people who do work from home, you know, and I feel like companies in general, but people that I talk to, they really kind of forgot that the office wasn't just a desk and your computer. Like, you know, the office had a stable internet connection and it had a coffee machine and a microwave and there was a refrigerator in there. And, you know, there was drinks that sometimes the company bought and there was other, you know, there's snacks and there's, you know, water and there's, you know, bathroom I don't have to clean, you know what I mean, like that, like, you know, there's these perks that the office had that we don't get, like, nobody, I feel like, call in if this maybe is different for you, or maybe if you have the same gripe as me, but shouldn't your job be paying for your internet, you know, and maybe some coffee, you know what I mean, like, I feel like they should be started. By now, they should have started sending care packages out. Like, send me a few grams of coffee every month. Because if I was in the office, you'd be paying for my coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's something that little things, if you're listening, job or jobs, you know, maybe you listening are an owner, a capitalist, which is, I don't know why you listen to the show to, you know, maybe you're a masochist, you like getting talked dirty to, but maybe you own something, you know, and you want to provide a nice little benefit for your employees. First, you know, look at the ability to pay them more money and then do that. But then, you know, if you can't pay more money or you feel like, you know, this is industry standard or maybe you're above industry standard, you know, send care packages, you know, care a little bit. Send them some gummy snacks. You know, don't be patronized, no. But, you know, coffee would be nice, you know, whole bean, maybe a grinder for the people who don't have one. Anyways, just a thought. So, you know, what we'd like to do is we like to start to talk about the weather to see, like, hey, what's your week going to look like? Because this is a show that is intended to help you have better weeks, you know, help you have better conversations with the people around you. Help you just know it just a little bit more, you know? And so I look at the Weather Channel, the Weather Network. Sometimes the Weather Network says some ridiculous shit, like this one, where it says 112 million year old dingo footprints fear damage by construction. Now you were like, damn, Issa, that's not ridiculous. I think so. You know, while I consider myself an environmentalist, you know, like that, like in the sense of, I'm a human, you know what I mean? I'm a human being. Like, I want me and to be able to survive. And, like, when I say me, but, like, what comes through me, you know, the future that comes through me to be able to survive here for future, you know? And so when I read a story like this, like 112 million year old dino prints feared damage. I'm like, yeah, it sucks that the construction workers damaged them. What else are we going to learn from these footprints? You know, I feel like the footprints of this dingo, we probably learned them all. And we probably shouldn't have killed all the dinos. You know what I'm saying? I was reading dingo. It says dino. You know, we didn't kill any. I mean, maybe we are still killing the dinosaurs, crocodiles and tortoises. Just ignore me. But I also thought this was funny. How truck tipping winds can rival the strength of 10 grizzly bears. Do you think the wind rivals grizzly bears? I don't think so. I feel like we try to personify weather events into people, like grizzlies don't. They don't have the same type of emotional range. You know, like that they have different, probably more sophisticated emotions than we do. In the next, just looking at what's our next few days going to look like? I don't know about you, but it is nice to feel that the wind and the weather isn't just biting anymore. You know, like I can feel the warm undertones of a spring that is yet to come, you know? And so I like that. I like when I feel like the weather's turning. I saw a statistic that said in like 30 days, the sun is going to set after 7. And that just means that it's soon to set after 8. You know, we're getting the summer. The time that this is why you live here. Anyways, so for the next few days, we're getting a little bit warmer. 8 degrees today, a high of 8 degrees tomorrow. 9, 10 throughout the weekend, both Saturday and sunny will be quite sunny. So if you want to enjoy Saturday, you know, Monday is going to be rainy. So if you want to take your partner out, I would suggest doing it on Saturday and Sunday or Sunday because it'll be nice out. And then so, you know, you wait till Valentine's Day. It'll feel like you just mailed it in, you know, start a little bit early. You know, let the people in your life know that you're thinking about them just a little bit, you know. So it's Black History Month. And it's nice because at the end of the month, I'm going to have a special guest. I'm not going to reveal who the special guest is by name, but it's just going to be a riddle. You know what I mean? Like, this is the little riddle from me to you. So this person has curated the VIF Black History Month series for the past 2 years. Also has done some curating across many galleries and museums across the city. I cannot wait to have this person on the radio show because I feel like they'll bring such a great and well-researched idea to what, you know, Black history looks like here in BC and across Canada. And yeah, it'll be great. But for now, you just have me. And so we're just talking about, when I say you just have me, you have me. You know, you're fortunate. I'm going to keep it real with you. But yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about, like, I think it's so interesting. And maybe if you want to call in, you want to, you know, debate, we can, or talk. This maybe you're on my team. I don't know. So I, not a native Canadian, not a native Vancouver. I just find it interesting. I've been here, for several Black History Months here in Vancouver. And I feel like every time, especially, people pointed out to me, you know, they bring up Joe Forte. So if you don't know who Joe Forte is, Joe Forte is a nice looking guy. You know what I mean? He looks like a good guy. But he was born in Trinidad, and through his travels, he ended up on a ship, and just like working and ended up on a ship here at the I think they called it the settlement of Granville by the time that he got here. And so what he did, he got here and established his life and, you know, I guess worked several jobs. And then he ended up as the lifeguard for English Bay, like the first lifeguard for English Bay. And then he died. That's like the story that like every year they bring up in the CBC. You know, there's an article in there today that I appreciate. It has some nuance in there, but it was like, you know, Joe Forte died 100 years ago. What can we learn from Joe Forte's legacy? And I wish that we could learn, like, honestly, I wish that we could learn more from Joe Forte's legacy, because I'm very curious, because an individual who lived from 1885 to 1922 here in Vancouver, I'm sure, you know, a particularly a black individual here, I'm sure experienced so many interesting changes in the city and what that city was like and what it, you know, and what that would mean, you know, what it would mean, not just like he was a lifeguard. Because while doing a little bit of research, I learned that there was a lot going on in the city. So there was a few race riots within that period. And we've had so much understanding and more learning about, you know, the ways that Asians and Asian Canadians were treated during that time. It definitely wasn't good. And so it would just be interesting, as we learned and we talked about, you know, some of the black experience here in Vancouver, that we would know a little bit more. I read a great book last year, if you want to know more about some black history in Vancouver, called Go Do Some Great Thing. And it was about the, it was a very interesting recount of a lot of history that isn't talked about, and black people's multiple year migration to Canada, like in very different ways. Because one of the things that you learn is that there has been black people here in BC for a long time, and they have, and a lot of the different groups of black people have got here different ways. And it's interesting to learn about the different migration patterns, because, you know, black history is not a monolithic history. There's not one singular black experience in one black history. But like, especially when learning about Joe Forte, it's so easy, it feels, for you know, the dominant race to talk about Joe Forte in this way that, you know, so as this jovial, you know, black man who's saving white kids in English Bay and, you know, was beloved by all of the people in the society. And, you know, to really tell this really simple story, when I think it's much more interesting, and I think it would be serve Vancouverites better to have a more complete understanding of the story. And even if the story, I mean, me, a cynic, and also me understanding the experiences that other black Canadians have had here in Vancouver, there's a reason why lots of people moved out. And then also, even I was just reading about Harry Jerome. So if you've ever rode your bike or, you know, ran around Stanley Park, you'll see that statue of that man who looks like he's flying. He's actually winning an Olympic medal, one of the fastest sprinters in the world. And he comes back to Canada, and you know, it was like, it when he left, you know, people would be racially harassed and assaulted. And so I can only imagine, if that was Harry Jerome's experience, what was Joe Forte's experience like? And I would just be curious. So maybe if you're a historian, maybe you might have a unique perspective. You're welcome to call in and share. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You're also welcome to call in and make a donation so that we can keep bringing you these Black History facts that maybe might make you question some things. And I feel like that is what we all need, to continue to be critical and think. When we get back, from some nice, smooth music. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I experienced from the convoy.
What you thinking, it's become an issue. Never really got to taste your max potential. You was moving faster though I hardly meant to. That's the way it happens, look what God could send you. Posted in my room, I got the keep recording. Least a couple beats per day, won't waste a molly. Open up my doors, I used to play with logic. But since I got that Ableton, the nigga gone. Bitch, your shit is garbage. Nobody contesting me, they won't vex. Rolling these gardens. Pull out the siren. Running these gardens, roll in these gardens. Rolling these gardens. Pull out the siren. I'm a mama nigga, never fault the process. I ain't doing singles, I just ghost and drop the project. Written off these topics. Pimping all melodics, ripping vinyl just to find a section I could fight with. Wish I played the violin or became a pilot. Never followed up my acting after school recitals. Pizza fucking Piper, pick some peppers, I know. How that shit relate, don't ask me, I didn't think that line through. Shit still flowing regardless, bitch, so still rolling these gardens. Pull out the siren. Pull out the siren. Rolling these gardens, they're out. Gardens, pull out this siren. Rolling these gardens, pull out the siren. When the garden didn't like it, go outside with the sirens. I smoke, love my green. I'm not caring what you believe. Rolling these gardens.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, yo! I can't believe it actually worked.
What's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Great show, brother.
Oh, thank you very much, man. You're on the air. Like, what do you want to say to the people? What's up?
Hang on, I'm going to tell my speaker to be quiet. Alexa, stop. I actually didn't think I'd get through. We're having some network trouble here.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, but you're on the air now. You're on the air now. What's going on?
You are doing a great job. Love it. One of the best shows on CITR. Randy Millis here from the Accessibility Collective, giving a shout out to all my peeps, hoping that we can get some disabled artists played on the show. There's a really great group we interviewed on All Access Pass from the Bronx, Four Wheel City. Check out the movement. Check them out. They're motivational speakers.
Four Wheel City. I'll check them out.
Four Wheel City, the movement. And my homeboy from Guelph, Ontario.
Hey, you don't got to say homeboy. You don't got to say homeboy on the show. You know what I'm saying? You could just talk regular. It's all good. It's all good over here.
Well, that's how my friend talked to me. So,
oh, dog.
Robbie G from Guelph, Ontario, Canadian rapper. Amazing.
Four Wheel City and Robbie G.
Robbie G. And keep listening to CITR, CITR 101.9 FM, CITR.ca/donate, and send some love to All Access Pass and all the other great shows on CITR.
Shout out to All Access Pass. They do some great work. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. They do some great work at All Access Pass. Listen, there's so many great shows here on CITR. There's so many great people. Thank you. Thank you very much for giving that shout out. You know, to listen, Fort Worth City, we're going to check them out. Listen, that's what this station is about. You know what I mean? It's about giving people access and, you know, everybody, people mean good. They do good. One of the things that we talked about here is that, like, we talk about housing here all the time at CITR. Housing is one of the most crucial and important things in our, you know, things that you can't live without. You can't live without shelter, food, water, and it's hard for people here in BC, particularly in Vancouver. And so I was going to talk a little bit about how this couple in Victoria has just become the latest victim of rent eviction. And so rent eviction is when basically you're renting and your landlord wants to kick you out. And then, you know, they have the processes they go through, but eventually they can kick you out or they can raise the rent so much that you can't afford it. And it happens to quite a bit of people here in BC. And so, like, it's for me, as someone who is not completely driven by the idea of getting into millions of dollars in debt so that I can own a home here in BC, like, renting is a good option, you know, while it maintains an option. But that means you have to deal with landlords. And we know that landlords can oftentimes be abusive, because what you're doing is they are providing capital and then you are then paying them for the ability to have saved money, which for me is so backwards. You know, you have to pay someone because they had the ability to save any money. It doesn't make sense. Anyways, so I've read this story about this landlord who successfully had her tenant removed because she felt that her tenant was having sex too loud. Now, I think that, and the tenant, I feel, wanted to move because she felt like the landlord was standing in the driveway and, like, trying to lurk and invade her privacy, which is probably what this creepy ass old lady was doing. And so she had to move. But it just, for me, it was just like another overreach for, like, how much control does this landlord want to have over your house? Like, damn, you already paid this lady's mortgage and now she wants to police when you can and can't have sex. Like, this went through all of the proper and then went through the court system. I was like, how embarrassing. But also how invasion of privacy, you know what I mean? Like, that you're this woman, she's like, oh, I can't. If you read the story on CBC, it's like, she's like, oh, I can't. I couldn't sit out and have a glass of tea on my porch. I couldn't talk to my neighbor. I couldn't be out with my adult children in my gardening in the middle of the day. And I'm like, this sounds like this lady was just waiting for it, which, how are you going to wait for it and then complain? You know what I mean? How are you going to listen for it and then complain? It doesn't make any sense. So if you haven't gone down to see the famous Sunset Beach Barge, you'll have to do it in the next few months, because what they're going to do in the next, they're going to start chopping it up and selling it. So you can own a piece of the barge. You can own a piece of the barge, but the barge is going to be removed. I've just felt people love the barge. I mean, while I understand that the barge can't stay there forever, because what happens in the next flood, in the next, you know, high speed winds, like, what happens? What are some of the potential, you know, negative consequences of leaving the barge there? So eventually, you know, they have to move it. But I felt like the barge had a place, you know, like that. I don't think I've come across someone who was upset that the barge was there. People have just adapted. And that's one thing I like about the city. People will adapt to almost anything, just like me. I had to adapt to noise on Saturday, and this looks like something I'm going to have to do for the foreseeable future as these convoy continues. And, you know, me being the curious person that I am, I walked outside and I wanted to talk to people. What's going on? You know, why are you out here? Why outside? And I am gifted in this particular skill of asking questions that don't make people feel like idiots. You know what I mean? Like, it's practiced, but I have a skill, you know, that I can talk to people with something that I think is patently ridiculous. And yet, genuinely, I am curious. You know, I live my life a very curious person, so I want to know what's going on, you know. So I asked, and I got a few different answers, none that really I feel like were worth repeating here. But what I learned is that something that I already knew, which is that people could give a shit less about the freedoms that people have already lost, and also this concept of freedom overall. It seemed to escape them, you know, the people who I talk to, at least, just how this is not gonna stop the government, you know what I mean? But anyways, maybe I was wrong, because today I was reading in Alberta and Manitoba how they're lifting vaccine mandates all over, and Horgan says he's not going to do it, but I'm sure eventually he's going to get too much pressure and going to have to. But some of these other provinces are lifting the mandate, so maybe they're getting what they wanted, you know, like that. They're getting their old spaghetti factories back opened up, Boston Pizza's back running so they can treat the wait staff like shit. And, you know, trying to go back. I feel like there's this big push that I've seen in the news recently, which is get people back spending money. Like, I mean, which is not really recent, but it's been going on for a while. But it's people are definitely committed to making sure that you can go out and spend your hard-earned money at some establishments. And it's interesting. So you know how I gather news for the show. I'm reading CBC. I'm just reading. And so it's talked to one thing was about, like, people severing friendships over convoy protests, with some saying it shows its true colors. Now, I have heard this a few times, where I feel like there is this, I don't really know, because I haven't, I mean, me and you right now, we're thinking about this together at the same time. This is a collaborative, like, I truly believe that we can, you know, we can send vibrations through each other, so we're sharing space. And so this thought is that, like, there's something here around, like, people ending friendships over, you know, joining the convoy. For me, I honestly saw the convoy and I just was just like, wow, these white people are really bored. Because you look at the size of the trucks, because honestly, people have trucks in Vancouver, but just like kind of the size of the trucks just kind of shows, like, oh, you need a driveway for that. And if you need a driveway, then obviously, you know, you don't live in Vancouver. So, like, you live far, you know what I'm saying? So you drove here, you know, this season people on the street, but mostly you drove here from far, you know, like that, you know, you're a part of something. It feels good. You know what I mean? To, like, be with people who are thinking the same as you. Like, I can understand that, you know what I mean? It's like, they just want to be a part of something and they're bored. And I have a lot of friends who believe a lot of stupid stuff, you know, and I'm not saying that, like, I just can't imagine just being like, this is where you draw the line at. You know, there was an example in the CBC where I think it was 24 years of friendship. And I'm like, wow, in 24 years of friendship, this person hasn't done anything worse than driving. It's like, yeah, I mean, I think it's goofy. But like, if this person is your friend, I don't know. Maybe I'm on the wrong side. You know, maybe people will stop being my friends because I don't know. Maybe also because I've grown up in spaces where like, you got to make trade-offs, you know. It's not something I'm willing to trade. But when we get back, we're going to talk about somebody who did trade a lot this week, and they're still getting shit for it.
It's not today's price.
Imagine every player's aiming coach right. Master recipes under stove lights. The number on his jersey is the quote price. You order Diet Coke, that's a joke, right? Everybody get it off the boat, right? But only I can really have a snow fight. Detroit challenge, what's your dope like? If your Benz bigger, step it up to ghost life. Miss it was our only misdemeanor. My tunnel vision's better under stove lights. You order Diet Coke, that's a joke, right? My workers compensated so they don't strike. Wish me luck, see green like Don Bishop. The ones you trust don't change like them chains you tuck. Far as I'm concerned, who's the best? Me and Jesus. Washed and dried, so give me all of mine and pesos. Add it up. Your bitches in them pictures, but they laser tagging us. They mad at us. Who wouldn't be? We became everything you couldn't be. Everything your mama said you shouldn't be. The Porsche's horse is revving like, look at me. Saddle up. I'm still pitching, baby, batter up. Imaginary players aiming coach right. Master recipes under stove lights. The number on his jersey is the quote price. You order Diet Coke, that's a joke, right? All you get it off the boat, right? But only I can really have a snow fight. Detroit, we challenge, what's your dope like? If your bin's bigger, step it up to ghost life. The flow's untouched, the drums is tough. Drive culling in when roads get rough. Snow's a must, the nose adjust. Young G's like we hove and puff. Best jewelries and hope we lust. Chanel trinkets ain't so blush. Crush hearts like pretty boys. And we driving pretty toys. Extendos will make plenty noise. Crescendo, make your car endo. Pierce your car window. Miss it was our only misdemeanor. Nike box, hole 100,000, no insoles. The era was such a black era. How many still standing reflecting in that mirror? Lucky imaginary me. Players aiming coach right. Master recipes under stove lights. The number on his jersey is the quote price. You order Diet Coke, that's a joke, right? All you get it off the boat, right? But only I can really have a snow fight. Detroit, we challenge, what's your dope like? If your bin's bigger, step it up to ghost life.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Ethan Aaron. Yeah, so, you know, what we do. It's Pusha T. He's got a new album coming up. And there's two things I want to talk about before we get into what we're going to talk about. It's like, I could not imagine. Shout out to Canada's Elena Gaskell. She was trying to win a few gold medals here at the Olympics. I don't know if anybody even knew the Olympics were going on. I certainly didn't. Anyways, but she tore ACL in a training run before, and I just could not imagine what that would feel like working years and years to get to the Olympics and then to tear ACL. So I read that and I felt sorry for her. So I hope that there's no, like, actually, you know, I don't hope shit. There's no silver lining in that. I'm sorry that happened, but that sucks. And then also, you know, we talked about housing. And so one thing I saw was there was an abandoned Greyhound station being converted into a homeless shelter And the crazy part about that is, well, one, if you've ever been to a Greyhound center, they serve, I feel like they could have left a Greyhound and then just provided added services. But I actually was trying to write that into like some type of joke. But then my roommate was like, I don't know if you've ever been to Greyhound, but Greyhound bus stations are often dirtier than a shelter should be. He was right. And I'm glad that they are trying to repurpose buildings like that, because people need places to go. And so it's interesting, right? So I don't know, this week you might be familiar with a radio host named Joe Rogan, who is I think there's a joke. It's like you never want to end up on like Twitter's main character, and Joe Rogan is the main character, has been for the past few days, because he says nigger a lot. And also he compared black people to the Planet of the Apes. And that's the one that's going to get him out of the paint. Like, you know, when I say get him out of the paint, I mean, like, that's a hand slap, you know, because they don't actually do shit to people when they say race things, which is why I personally find it so, it's not worth the time to, declare, you know, who is and is not individually racist. It doesn't matter. We know that the system is really what matters. I could care less about these individuals anyways. But also, the fact is, like, Joe Rogan is exactly the type of person who, he's exactly who I thought he was before I heard, that montage. And afterwards, like, if you have ever listened to Joe Rogan, if you've ever heard him, or even if you've never heard him, he's exactly who you would expect. Like, for me, one of the things that I'm always shocked about, or maybe not shocked about, is that, like, the reaction of people have, like, the reaction of people's, like, something comes out like this, and then people are just quick to jump and just say how racist this person is, or how racist they're not. You know, one, you have no idea, you know, like, that if somebody's racist or not. It's like, it's not something you can just, like, some people will tell you, but some is not easily identifiable. And I think that a lot of times this comes from people who are trying to point out how racist they're not by pointing out how racist this person is. You know what I mean? Because, like, I can guarantee, like, I say this as, I can guarantee that if you are white and you have lived your life as a white person, you've been in a room where somebody has said some racial slur. It might not be nigger, but it's been another one, and you didn't say anything. You know what I mean? And you didn't say anything, and you probably remained friends with them, or kept them in your social circle, or, you know, you kept them you certainly didn't tell the black people that they know that they said this, you know, behind closed doors or whatever. And you kept it to yourself. And does that make you better or worse than Joe Rogan? I don't know. But I feel like when people come out and they, you know, and you see this, it's like they're really trying to protect themselves. Anyways, but Joe Rogan also, he did compare black people to Planet of the Apes. You can't fucking do that. Like, he says all types of wild shit on his UFC cards. And yeah, this is exactly who I expect Joe Rogan to be. Like, people like Joe Rogan exist in your daily life. Like, our managers at places, and they work, you know, and they are deciding who gets into college and who gets jobs and, you know, how much people get paid and all types of stuff. Like, people like Joe Rogan, until you want to grapple with, like, the fact that he's not an outlier. I personally feel like it's a little, it's not really worth it to just continue to call on one person. Wow, we move really fast through this day. I feel like, listen, an hour is a lot. Like, just try to practice by yourself, just talking an hour by yourself. It's hard. But for some reason, it just comes so easy. I feel like, you know, we got a connection today. And I appreciate that. So I'll leave it with this. 80-year-old California nun sentenced to prison for stealing over $800K from the Catholic school. Now, I read that. And my first thought was like, well, they stole it first, and she's just stealing it again. You know what I mean? But then I read further, and I was like, oh, maybe this lady has a fucking problem, and maybe she needs help. So the retired California nun and elementary school principal who stole over $800,000 from her school to fund her gambling habit has been sentenced to 1 year in federal prison. 80-year-old Margaret Cooper pleaded guilty back in June to wire fraud and money laundering, stealing $835,000 from Torrance's St. James Catholic School, where she worked for 28 years. So she's sentenced to 1 year for stealing $800,000. I'm not like even a carceral person. I don't believe in carceral punishment. I personally don't think that that's like how we should be punishing people, just like in general. But seems kind of lean. They say she does have to pay restitution, but they're never getting that money back. What is she going to go to work? She's 80 years old. All this lady knows how to do is steal. So what's she going to do? I feel like if I stole 800, like, I wonder when the judge gives the sentence, do they look at like how long their expected life is, like one more year? Because I feel like if I stole 800, like, I'd risk 800. I would risk 1 year in prison for stealing $800,000. Like, what is the percentage that I, like, what is the percentage of success rate? You know what I mean? Like 20%, 40%, 50%, 75%. You know what I mean? Like, what would be the percentage that you would have to do 1 year in jail? I'm gonna let you all think on that. Listen, we do this every week from 10 to 11 here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, there's so many good shows here. Please, 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 please donate to the fund drive. There's so many. Listen, this, the CITR supports and funds so much good content from so many great people. We have all different types of collectives here, all different types of people who can come in and share their voice. Appreciate the support. Go to CITR.ca/donate. Listen, you can call here during the daytime. People will figure out how to take your money. Be like that nun, but give instead of take, you know? Every week we do this. I'm out.
Copy and paste.
Yeah, when you hear that sound, you know you're locked into
copy and paste.
That's right, it's copy paste radio. We broadcast underground dance music each and every week here on CITR, and if you, like me, are inspired by the sounds of the underground, I highly recommend you head on over to CITR.ca/donate and contribute to this year's Fun Drive 2021. Let's keep copy-paste and all the other